Heavenly Father, we bless you and we just thank you for this service. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for this time of rest, and I just thank you for your word, Lord God. I thank you for the things that you teach us from your word, Lord God, and the things that you teach us in the manner of life, just by experiencing life and walking through life and having encounters either with your creation or with people. And we just thank you for this service, Lord God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so one time, I don't remember how many years ago it was, I went to go give my wife a kiss, and she says, "Oh my word, you smell like dirt." I said, "Thank you, baby. That is the nicest thing you've ever said to me." That's the title of today's message. You smell like dirt. And I was very proud of that because that's what I was striving for. And she's like, and you guys are like, why would she let you in the house or in the bed? No, because all of the soap, not shampoos, but deodorants, wash that you're clothed in, autumn scent, natural scents, all of these things, that means I had no smell. That means I smelled like the creation, not the garbage dump, but like the earth. And as many times as happened this morning, just watching, I had one little buck come by, and I was like, and then he was like, oh, took off. The fact that I blended in so well that they didn't know I was there is the whole purpose. That means I achieved my goal. That's the goal. So what does that have to do with us? I'm glad you asked. So there's a prayer, a blessing that the rabbis say, or a Jewish prayer, says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And the purpose of that blessing is so that you would hopefully follow so closely behind your rabbi that the dust that is kicked up by his feet would cover you, so you would smell like dirt. So that you would be covered in the dust of his teachings. That's the whole point of it. Is you're following him everywhere he goes, and just by walking down the road, you're listening to everything he says. And I use that, that how much time I spent with Dr. Mosley. And there was a lot of stuff, most of the stuff I got was not just by going through the college. Yeah, I was assistant pastor, and I helped set up everything all the time. And I went to several conferences and set up the book tables and stuff, and just listening, and there was so much I got from the side conferences and the sidebars, the one-on-ones, and all of that stuff you just don't get when you're just listening to a message. And so whoever it is that you connect yourself to, that's a great principle that you just follow so closely. That's why I try to be careful trying to work on my sarcasm. I don't want to create a house full of sarcastic Steves, right? That you guys go out and start running your mouth and go, oh, my pastor taught me how to talk like this. So I'm the one that has to answer for the way I talk now. So I don't want to have to answer for y'all, too. All right. So 1 Corinthians 11:1, what does Paul say here? He says, follow me as I follow the Messiah. Same principle. He's making that point. Matthew 10, Acts 13, and Acts 22 all makes a point that says, when they got to the town and they did not receive what they had to say, Yeshua told them, hey, knock the dust off your feet. And they did the same thing in Acts. And in Luke 8 and 10, you see the phrase that says, they sat at his feet. And so this principle of following that closely and sitting at the feet and being covered by the dust of the Messiah, the dust of your rabbi who is our rabbi, is what we're supposed to do. So we're supposed to take on an odor. We're supposed to resemble somebody by sight and smell and sound and appearance and action and everything we do. We're supposed to smell like his dirt. We're supposed to smell like he smells. But you have to be careful whose feet you sit at. Be very careful. When I hear all the time, you know, and it's, I make the point of Rabbi Google, you know, the latest internet theologian who's out there spewing all kinds of stuff, you don't know those people. And they are really sending people some bad places with some bad theology. And there's a point that Yeshua made when he said, there are many in Matthew 24 and verse 5, he talks about what's going to happen in the end. And he says, many are going to come and they're going to say that I'm the Messiah and deceive many. There's a lot of people that are being deceived today. A lot of people. And Billy just hinted at this, and I'm going to address it more the closer we get to inauguration. I'm not saying this is true, but I'm just going to make the point while I'm here. Nobody is deceived by the wickedness of the left. Let me rephrase that. Very few Christian people are deceived by the wickedness of the left. When deception comes, it says the deception will be so great that it might even be possible to deceive the elect. Deception is going to sound wonderful. It's going to sound glorious. It's not going to be as obvious as, hey, don't kill babies and don't sleep with that person and don't cut off children's body parts. That's real easy to see. But the other deception, not so much. And so one of the things that people misread this verse, and they think what it's saying is that there are people who are coming and they're going to say, I'm the Messiah, not Jesus, I'm the Messiah, and deceive many. That's not what it says. He's saying many are going to come and tell you that I'm the Messiah and deceive many. Because in verse 24, or chapter 24 and verse 23, he says false messiahs and false Christ will arise. That's the verse that's talking about people who are claiming to be Messiah that are not. But this one here is that means there are people who are running around this world saying Jesus is the Messiah and are deceiving many. That's what he's saying there. And so you have to be careful with who you allow to make you dirty, who you allow to follow and walk in. And that's why I say if this ain't the place for you, I don't mean this in a bad way, go. And I always make the same point of that if when you begin to espouse certain teachings and say things to people, create little websites, create little Facebook forums and all this stuff, you are taking on the role of a teacher. And if you are deceiving people, the Bible says you will receive a much stricter judgment as the role of a teacher. So you have to be careful. This is why it's a calling. I initially was like, I don't want to do this. And then when you really realize your life's got to be different and you're going to have to give an account for everything you say, I was like, I really don't want to do this, right? And so just be aware. It's only going to get worse the closer we get. So, oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys are going to notice this or not. I'm purposefully trying to shorten messages. Here's why. I'm a to-the-point kind of guy. I think you guys probably figured that out by now. I really don't like it when I go and listen to a sermon and a guy's trying to make a point about something that's green, and he'll tell you that it's green like the woods of Oregon or green like the moss in a pond or green like the wonderful hills of Ireland or green. We're like, we get it, bro. It's green. So if I'm duplicating the things and the points I'm trying to make, I'm trying to cut those things down so we just make the point and we go eat and we go study. You're welcome. So we all, what's that? Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to limit the sidebars. I really am. Oh, but I got another one. So this was, there are very few things that cause me to yell across the other side of the cubicle in my office or down the hall or cut somebody off in here. And when I hear gross misrepresentation of the Word of God, And I heard this guy, and they were talking about slavery and biblical slavery. And they're like, well, it was all over the place in the Bible, and so it wasn't always that bad. I said, stand by, you genius. And I just hollered over the other side. That does not mean what you think it means. And then he starts shouting, and I was like, and I went back, and I said, I paused. I said, you know what, dude? I said, I forgot who I was talking to for a moment. You're right. He goes like, we're just having a conversation. I said, no, this isn't a conversation. You're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you, that word and what you see there is being misrepresented and has been misrepresented in our culture and other cultures for generations. It doesn't mean what you think it means. And he's one of these guys that just won't. And I just said, that's why I forgot for a moment who I'm talking to. You're right. And it doesn't matter the topic. I just go, whenever I see him and he brings something up and they say, what do you think? I go, I don't know. You're right. Because I know who you are now. I've had the conversation with you multiple times. I know who you are now. And there are some people you just can't talk to. And so I learned that he was one of them. And so after he left, I went to, and the one real good friend of mine in that same area, he goes, I need to talk to you about your how hard you were on so-and-so. And I was like, and I'm sitting there looking at it, and he starts laughing. He goes, I'm just kidding. He goes, you were awesome. And I said, this is my life. I have dedicated my life to studying the Word of God. Ever since I became a believer in September the 8th of 96, and the call to ministry in September of 98, I've accepted this call and I've dedicated my life to studying the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. I said, you guys have dedicated your life to aviation. You're pilots. You went to school. You got a college degree. You spent 3 years learning how to fly airplanes. And now you've become an instructor and you've been doing this for 20-something years. I said, how would you like it if I came over to you and told you how to fly a three-engine go-around? And you start to correct me on that, and I go, no. This is how it works. This is what it means when I've never studied to be a pilot. I said, so I'm not saying I know everything. I said, but at least shut up enough to listen, right? So I had a moment. I don't know why I put that in there. You smell like dirt. So what kind of dirt are you? Because everybody in here is dirt. Go read the parable of the sower. See, we equate this parable as to being about people being saved. And we do that too much. When we read parables or we read things, everything has to be about salvation. And it's not. It really should be called the parable of the soil. Because that's the real issue here. Because the sower is the Messiah, who's the one who's just casting the seed. But the response to the seed was purely dependent on the soil. And so if we're all in one of those conditions, you got to evaluate yourself. So we look at it and we go, oh, we're good soil. We got saved. Okay, but what about now? After you became a believer, what about now? Are you the wayside? Are you the stuff that's just hard as a rock that won't receive anything? How many times if somebody, whether it be somebody in our study, myself, Billy, whoever, somebody you listen to online, somebody say something, but it went contrary to what you believed. And the Bible says that the adversary came and scooped up that seed before it could take any root. So somebody might be teaching you something, but you're so hard-hearted you can't hear it. And we put that in the category of the stony ground. But it says it had a little bit of dirt in it, had a little bit of soil, because it said it started to take and germinate. But it said it had no root, had no foundation. But then where we find ourselves, I think, more times than not, is the thorny ground, the ground that had all the weeds in it, where it says the cares and riches of this world. See, we don't have to be in pursuit of wealth. We can just be overloaded with time. I don't know if you have it set up on your phone or not, but mine tells me every Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning how many hours of screen time is on this thing. If you want real conviction, make sure you turn that thing on, because we waste a lot of time. Now, I don't feel a whole lot of conviction because I don't play games on here. I do get on the Facebook. But I also use the apps for study a lot, so mine's not always up for just goofing off. But how much thorns and thistles and briars and stuff do we allow to consume our time? I'm not trying to get rich. I'm not concerned about the things that are going on in the world. I really don't have many cares nowadays. That's one of the things I can't help but say everywhere I go is thank you. Looks like I was blinding y'all. Blinded by the light. Yeah, I'm making a point. See, we need to be light. But I really don't have any cares nowadays. I really don't. And so I'm not weighed down by the cares of the world. I mean, even though it really looks like that any given day, this whole thing's about to ignite, right? If you really were to sit down and go over and go, hey, do you know what's happening here, 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 and there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and all that, it would make you a nervous wreck. But I'm worried about it, because I've accepted that the Lord's in control. So I'm not worried about the cares and riches of the world, but what about other things? What about the things that we're allowing to not allow us to become good soil? Because we all smell like dirt. You just have to determine whether or not you got briars in yours, you got weeds in yours, rocks in yours, or whether or not you have pure soil. That's where we all want to get to. It's easy, you know, when you start talking about the big ticket items. You know, some of the most spiritual people you're ever going to meet are people that didn't have a high school education, didn't have a college degree, they never went to a Bible seminary, but they were farmers. Because they spend every day out in God's creation working in the dirt. And they saw His hand in seed time and harvest, in the rains, in plentiful crops, destructive crops. They saw the hand of God when they worked the soil. But you know, it didn't hit me until this week and when I saw this. You know, we look at the curse that was upon Adam when he said, "You're now going to go and work the ground, and thorns and thistles it shall bear unto you." So you're going to have to work it, it says, by the sweat of your brow. And we said, well, that was the curse. You know, he was always intended to work the dirt. We missed that. Before the fall, in Genesis 2 and verse 5, it says, there was no man to work the ground. So after he had made all this, God knew somebody needed to work the ground. He goes, there's no man. He just wasn't supposed to deal with all the stuff that was in it. It wasn't full of weeds. It wasn't full of all the thorns and all the dirt, all the rocks and everything. It was always going to produce plentifully. That's what the intent was. It was going to be easy. You see a play on this when we're given the commandments. In Genesis, just 10 verses later, it says Adam was then created, and then it says he was put in the garden to keep and guard the land. And we make a comparison quite frequently that that had he done his job, that snake wouldn't have gotten the garden. Of course, I heard one guy saying, you know, we knew Adam wasn't from Louisiana because he'd have fried that thing, you know. But his whole purpose was to keep and guard the garden. And then what do you hear in the commandments given later? Keep and guard the Sabbath. Keep and observe. Keep my commandments. Guard them, protect them, observe them, work them. And then what's he doing when God gives us those words? He's reminding us to kick back to that and go, hey, don't be like Adam, where you didn't take care of the garden and you didn't guard that. And so when he uses that word shamar there, to guard and to protect, in the Gesenius Hebrew Dictionary, it says to guard and protect like one who's taking care of a garden. Because if you will guard and protect the garden, it will then do what? It will produce for you. It will give you food. It will give you nourishment. So if you take the word of God, the commandments of God, and you treat them like that, and you protect them, and you guard them, you observe them and keep them, then they are going to produce in your life. So he's drawing on that when he sends back. But it wasn't until he was sent away from the garden that it says the thorns and thistles and all of that. And, you know, that, that point really won't fly there. I love the story of the parable of the soil. Because there are many times that and I'm going to close. I told you it's going to be short. You're like, whoa, he wasn't kidding. I'm just going to try and get Billy to do this. You can tell him I said that, Benjamin. We need to pray for Billy. He threw his back out this morning. I'm not laughing. I was laughing because of what I sent him in a text message back, because even in his pain, I showed him no mercy in our sarcastic back and forth bantering with one another. It's like, you call this a legitimate excuse to skip church? It's because you can't get out of bed? Here's the part. Here's the things that we miss. We always look at the big items when we think about things like sin, or the using the parable of the sower, and we'll go, "Oh yeah, that's easy. I don't have this sin. I don't lie, steal, cheat, commit adultery. I'm not worshiping any idols. Oh, I don't have this and that." And so we'll go, "Well, there's my wayside, my stoniness, and then my thorns and thistles. So I guess I'm kind of covered, really." Because I don't have those big ticket items. You know, you could look at ground, and I've learned this with experimenting with a little bit of gardening, so I'm not very good at keeping the weeds out. But I also found out that you can have the most beautiful, luscious looking dirt, and if it ain't balanced, it ain't growing nothing. I don't know how many times I've got done tilling and got all the weeds out of that thing, ran that tiller over that, and it was just chocolate brown looking, and I was like, man, that's some good looking dirt. And then a few weeks later, it's all hard, hardly anything growing out of it. And then I found out, well, you got to have, like, you know, the calcium, the pH, and you go through all this other stuff, and you don't have it balanced right. So it can look right and still not produce. That's where I like to tunnel at today. So we can say all the right things and have all the right Christianese, but we knock out those big ticket items. But what about in Galatians? Well, first let me say in Matthew 23, because Matthew 23 isn't part of our reading. And by the way, where's Michael? I was really hoping Michael was going to be here. Apple. Because when you get to Matthew 24, he likes to talk about things. And I was all ready to talk about those things. Well, unfortunately, he's not here today. But in Matthew 23, Yeshua was talking about when he was really laying into the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he goes, you guys are doing the right things as far as, you know, tithing of your cumin and mint and all of that. He says, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, you know, truth and justice. He's like, you have neglected those things. And so what we tend to do is look at those big ticket items as the weightier matters. I'm sorry. Yeah, as the weightier matters. But they're not. The weightier matters are the thing that's in the soil that's not producing. Because what really, like when we talk about what we call big ticket items, lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, and all that other stuff, we go, well, I don't do that. Well, Yeshua will go, right. You aren't doing those things, but you're neglecting the weightier matters. What? Because it always comes back to this. That's why I always talk about the condition of the heart. And the condition of your soil is because you can look good on the outside. But if the balance isn't right, if your soil isn't right, it can be as pretty as it can be, but if it ain't balanced right, it's not going to produce. In Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, it tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, unfortunately, too many people will use this to go, see, we don't need the law anymore. I follow the fruits of the Spirit. It's not not the point he was trying to make there. But those are the things that matter. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that matter. That's the weightier things. And that's the stuff that's going to show that your soil is a good soil. So like I said, everybody smells like dirt. What kind of dirt are you? Are you producing everything that the Bible says you're supposed to be producing? And we can talk about, you know, are we going to the poor and all that other stuff? And that's true. And all those things need to be done. But those can be outward things. Because I know a lot of people who don't know the Lord who serve in soup kitchens. So you can't just say, well, I go to a homeless shelter, or I go to an old folks home, or I go to a soup kitchen, therefore I'm doing the things of the Lord. That's what he told us to do. But how much more should we be doing those things than an unbeliever? But that's not what it comes down to. It's the stuff that you think in the quiet time. It's the stuff and the way you treat the people when they're not looking at you. It's when you don't have peace in a situation, when you should have peace in a situation. I used to get on myself about, like, what I did by blowing up on that guy. But sometimes people just need that. And, you know, so we have this idea that Yeshua and Paul, Peter, and these guys just walked around and they were just like, bless the Lord, and everything is just so magnificent all the time. No, they had some... They dealt, and sometimes people need to be dealt. So it's not that, you know, we're just walking around like a bunch of 4th-century monks just praying in quiet and peace and never having any problems. But it's even in the midst of dealing with all of that, dealing with what we're seeing going on in the world, and if we're really walking in the fruits of the Spirit, I think that really tells us the condition of our dirt. Because that's why I always come back to, and I tunnel back to messages about the condition of the heart. And because that's where we need to be. The people in this country, and I don't think the people in this country dislike God as much as they've been being told that they do. I think they've been getting tired of the showmanship that's been going on in church for too long. I think they've been getting tired of the false representation of who Yeshua is for too long. And it was about a week or two ago, it's been upon my heart to go and speak to this individual, and I work with an individual who's unashamedly gay. And I said, I'd like to meet with you sometime. I said, I'd like to hear your story. And they're like, well, it's just a story. I said, well, no, I really want to understand how you came to where you're at. I said, too many times, we just put labels on people from my community. And she's like, what do you mean by your community? I said, conservatives, Christians. Right? I said, do we just to slap labels on people? And without realizing they're individuals. I said, so I'd kind of like to hear your story to understand how you came to where you're at. Because it's real easy, that's why I always use the phrase the big ticket items, it's real easy to demean people and not find out how they got to where they're at. Now, sometimes they're just wicked and that's why they got to where they're at. But other times it's not. And so we need to make sure that we're really walking in the fruit of the Spirit and everything that we're doing and how we're addressing people and how we're, because I don't know that whether or not that encounter, whenever that conversation will happen, will change anything in their life. But what they don't need to hear is somebody beating people over the head because of the sin of the day. They need to see and hear love from us. They need to see that we're good dirt. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Your word says that we came from dust and we're going back to dust. And our spirits came from you and we're going back to you. So, Father, help us as we read and study your word, as we pray and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance on the things of life, and that we listen when he tells us the things that we need to correct and straighten out, things that we need to get in line. Things that may not be lined up so that we can get all of our balances right and so that our soil, after we think we're good, getting all of the hard stuff out, the rocks out, and the briars out, show us things that we need to add or take away so that we can get that production of that 30, 60, 90, 100 fold. So just show us those things so that we can live right and be right completely before you, Lord. So that we can really, truly be the light and the example that we're to be. To hopefully change somebody's lives. To hopefully snatch them out of hell. Sometimes we forget that, Father. So we bless you and we just thank you for this time. And I look forward to our time around your word. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Yivarech Adonai. Ve'yishmerecha ya'er Adona panav alecha v'chunecha yisa Adona panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
When in the Central Arkansas area, we would like to invite you to join us in person. Shabbat service begins at 1 p.m. each Saturday, with Oneg at 3 p.m. and Torah study at 4 p.m. All service times are Central Standard Time. Thanks for watching.